Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Text number 21. Yadang vabhidhyana samadhi dautaya dhyanupashyanti hi tatvam atmanah vadanti chaitat kavayo yataruchang same mukundo bhagavan prasidatam yadang vabhidhyana samadhi dautaya dhyanupashyanti hi tatvam atmanah vadanti chaitat kavayo yataruchaṁ same mukundo bhagavān prasidatam yat angri
whose lotus feet
abhidhyana thinking of at every second samadhi, trance, dautaya, being washed off, diya, by such clean intelligence, anupashyanti, does see by following authorities. He certainly tatvam the absolute truth atmanah of the Supreme Lord and of oneself vadanti they say cha also etat this Kavayaha, philosophers or learned scholars, Yataruchaṁ, as he thinks, Saha, he may mine, Mukundaha, Lord Krishna who gives liberation, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Prasidatam. Be pleased with me. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna who gives liberation. By thinking of his lotus feet at every second, following in the footsteps of authorities, the devotee in trance can see the absolute truth. The learned mental speculators, however, think of him according to their whims. May the Lord be pleased with me. Purport. The mystic yogis, after a strenuous effort to control the senses, may be situated in a trance of yoga just to have a vision of the supersoul within everyone. But the pure devotee, simply by remembering the Lord's lotus feet at every second, at once becomes established in real trance because by such realization his mind and intelligence are completely cleansed of the diseases of material enjoyment. The pure devotee thinks himself fallen into the ocean of birth and death and incessantly prays to the Lord to lift him up. He only aspires to become a speck of transcendental dust at the lotus feet of the Lord. The pure devotee, by the grace of the Lord, absolutely loses all attraction for material enjoyment. And to keep free from contamination, he always thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord. King Kulashekara, a great devotee of the Lord, prayed,
Krishna Twadiya Parapankaja Panjadantam Adyaiva me Vishatumana Sarajaham Saha Prana Prayana Samaye Kapavata Pittaya Kantavarodhana Vidau Smaranam Kutaste.
My Lord Krishna, I pray that the swan of my mind may immediately sink down to the stems of the lotus feet of your lordship and be locked in their network. Otherwise, at the time of my final breath, when my throat is choked up with cough, how will it be possible to think of you? There is an intimate relationship between the swan and the lotus stem, so the comparison is very appropriate. Without becoming a swan or paramahamsa, one cannot enter into the network of the lotus feet of the Lord. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, the mental speculators, even by dint of learned scholarship, cannot even dream of the absolute truth by speculating over it for eternity. The Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to such mental speculators. And because they cannot enter into the network stem of the lotus feet of the Lord, all mental speculators differ in conclusions. And at the end, they make a useless compromise by saying as many conclusions, as many ways.
Yatam mat tatapat.
According to one's own inclination,
yata rucham.
But the Lord is not like a shopkeeper trying to please all sorts of customers in the mental speculator exchange. The Lord is what he is, the absolute personality of Godhead. And he demands absolute surrender unto him only. The pure devotee, however, by following the ways of previous acharyas or authorities, can see the Supreme Lord through the transparent medium of a bona fide spiritual master, anupashyanti. The pure devotee never tries to see the Lord by mental speculation, but by following in the footsteps of the acharyas, mahajano yenagataksapantaha. Therefore, there is no difference of conclusion amongst the Vaishnav acharyas regarding the Lord and the devotees. Lord Chaitanya asserts that the living entity, Jiva, is eternally the servitor of the Lord, and that he is simultaneously one with and different from the Lord. This tattva of Lord Chaitanya's is shared by all four sampradayas of the Vaishnava school, all accepting eternal servitude to the Lord even after salvation. And there is no authorized Vaishnavacharya who may think of the Lord and himself as one. So there may be some technical differences among the Vaishnav schools, but the basic common idea is that everyone is eternally servant of God, and liberation does not end our devotional service. It is the actual beginning of our devotional life. Okay, continuing, last paragraph of Prabhupada's purport. The humbleness of the pure devotee, who is 100% engaged in his service, puts the devotee of the Lord in a trance by which to realize everything. Because to the sincere devotee of the Lord reveals himself, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 10:10. The Lord being the Lord of intelligence in everyone, even in the non-devotee, favors his devotee with proper intelligence so that automatically the pure devotee is enlightened with the factual truth about the Lord and his different energies. The Lord is revealed not by one's speculative power or one's verbal jugglery over the absolute truth. Rather, he reveals himself to a devotee when he is fully satisfied by the devotee's service attitude. Shukadeva Goswami is not a mental speculator or compromiser of the theory of so many ways, so many conclusions. Rather, he prays to the Lord only, invoking his transcendental pleasure. That is the way of knowing the Lord. Ichadvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarvabhutani samhoham sargayante parantapa. Krishna tells Arjuna in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that all conditioned souls are born into this world because of being impelled by desire and hatred, these two opposite polarities of attraction and repulsion. If we had no attraction to the material illusion, we wouldn't enter this world. We would stay with Krishna. But we want something separate from Krishna, and therefore we're put into this world. Our own desire to be independent of Krishna manifests itself concretely in various kinds, each different for each one of us, various kinds of attraction and repulsion. Actually, the center of gravity should be Krishna. We should be only attracted to him and everything that revolves around him, including his devotees and his service. But we're somehow have been knocked out of orbit, and we've come into the material realm of attraction and repulsion. So, helplessly impelled by that material attraction and repulsion, we take birth repeatedly in this world. So everyone who is born here, at least every person who is not here on a special spiritual mission, those of us who are here as prisoners in this penitentiary, we're born impelled by desire and hate into illusion. Samoham yanti. Everyone is born into illusion. And in this illusion, we fail to even have any interest in finding Krishna, in reviving our relationship with him. We're pursuing all sorts of foolish endeavors, all sorts of illusory concepts of the goal of our life, what we consider would be success, accumulating vast amounts of money, power, or just comfort, or just relieving ourselves of our debilitating diseases. We set different goals for ourselves, temporary goals. This is our illusion. That is one end of the spectrum. On the other end of the spectrum is the natural, divine state of the living entity who is not fallen from Krishna consciousness or who has come back to it. Mahatmanas tu mam parta daivim prakritim ashvitaha bhajantyananya manaso gyatva bhutadim avyayam. The great souls, in contrast to those who have fallen prey to Maya, those who are free from the influence of Maya, they take shelter of my divine internal energy. And that is actually how, the only way they can be free from the power of illusion. Everyone is subordinate. Only Krishna is independent. It's a matter of choosing to be subordinate to Krishna's internal or his external energy. Jai Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Shri Gornita. The great souls, or let's translate it as those whose intelligence is broad, those who are smart enough to know what is actually good for them, they take shelter, daivim prakritim ashritaha. They have taken shelter of my divine energy. and they worship me incessantly, without deviation, without interruption. Ananya manaso, with no other interest, ananya manasa. Because, gatva, because they have tattva-jnana, they know properly who Krishna is, who they are in relationship to Krishna, and how to, the dynamics of how to act in your relationship with Krishna. Gatva bhutadim avyayam, they know me to be the origin of everything that exists, the infallible supreme. Everything material is fallible, and everything material is not the origin of everything. Janmadyasya yataha, definition of the absolute truth, that which is the origin of everything. And that definition distinguishes the absolute truth from everything that is not absolute. So, on one end of the spectrum are the vast majority of living beings who are in ignorance and forgetfulness of Krishna. And on the other end of the other extreme end are the blissful devotees of the spiritual world, or the few who live in the material world with spiritual consciousness. And they, because they are aware of Krishna's greatness and they have love for Krishna, they're free from illusion. We are somewhere in the middle. We may be on different points on the scale, but we're all somewhere in the middle. And therefore we're struggling. It said, I don't remember the Sanskrit. There are only two people, who are satisfied in this world. The pig and the Paramahamsa. The person who is deeply engrossed in the mode of ignorance, he's satisfied with his ignorance. He has his little sense gratification, and he's satisfied with it. And his oblivion, he's able to block out the pain by intoxication, he's happy. And on the other end of the scale, the Paramahamsa, the person who can dive down into the network of the filaments, saffron-covered filaments that are growing from the lotus toes of Krishna, described by Kulashekhar Alwar. Tvadiya parapankaja panjarantam adhyayava me vishitu manasa raja hamsa. The mind of the pure devotee is like a wonderful swan that can dive down into the network of Krishna's lotus feet, become entrapped in Krishna's feet. In other words, become completely absorbed in thought and attraction to Krishna. So we're not, probably most of us, on either end of the scale. We're somewhere in the middle. And therefore, we should try to work toward the right end of the scale. We should try to work toward the goal of becoming pure devotees of the Lord. That is the program of sadhana bhakti. We're very fortunate that we're able to engage in this process, that we have received initiation, that we have been somehow guided to the lotus feet of Krishna. We may not have pure love, we may not be Paramahamsas, but we are properly engaged. Apiched sudhuracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sarureva samantavyak samyak vyafasito hisaha. Even if someone whose behavior is bad, very bad, we have seen such devotees in ISKCON. They sincerely tried to serve Prabhupada, but because of bad conditioning, they did bad things, they abused other devotees, and they fell down. They were not able to remain in Krishna consciousness their whole life because of offenses committed and because of sinful behavior. Because of where we're coming from, many of us, from a background of bad conditioning. And therefore we have the tendency to do bad things, and sometimes we fall back into our bad past habits. But even a devotee who is very bad in his behavior, if he's making every endeavor to give his life to Krishna, despite all odds, against his conditioning, trying to swim up the stream and reach Krishna's lotus feet, then Krishna says he should be considered a sadhu because he's made up his mind properly. Samyak vyavasito saha. He has decided that he belongs to Krishna. So even if he's a rascal, he's Krishna's rascal. And Krishna accepts him. Chipram bhavati dharmatma. Very quickly he will become rectified. Shashvat chantim nigacchati. And he will attain eternal peace. So Krishna accepts the one who takes shelter of his lotus feet, even if the person is very imperfect. And he gives him all facility to make progress toward him. Especially if the devotees are always thinking about Krishna. If we let our minds become distracted to material topics too much, especially if we let our tongues and our ears indulge in these things, especially the tongue. The ear you can't control much. The ear is passive. It just receives whatever sound is in the atmosphere. But the tongue you have some theoretical control over. You don't have to open your mouth. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to say any nonsense. That's your choice. The ear you can't help unless you put an ear, a plug in your ear. Or go away. If you hear some blasphemy, you have to walk away because you cannot close the ears. But the tongue, the mouth, you can keep closed. Or only open it and speak something proper. That we have control over. So if we don't, then we're making it hard for us, ourselves, to make progress in Krishna consciousness. But ananyas satatam kirtayanto mam yatantas chadrit, not that verse, tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. If we somehow, by our own enthusiasm, or just by our determination, I don't feel enthusiastic, but I know I have to do this, or you let someone else make you do it, by your own innovation or by someone else's impelling you, somehow or other you keep yourself engaged all the time in Krishna's service. And don't stop that service to do something that's against Krishna's service. Ever. Satatam kirtayanto mam. Always engaged in glorifying me, Krishna says. And endeavoring with firm determination. I'm sorry, again the wrong verse. Tesham satata yuktanam. For those who are always engaged in my service, bhajatam, priti purvakam, and who are worshiping me with loving affection. I give the intelligence, dadami buddhi yogam, tam yena mam upayanti te, the special intelligence by which they can come closer and closer to me, can become actually attracted to me, can develop pure love for me gradually. I give the intelligence. Krishna is the super soul. He's giving everyone intelligence. He's giving the thief intelligence. Here's a man who's left his home. The window's open. You can get in the house. And he's telling the owner, lock your window before you leave. So Krishna's giving everybody intelligence, but on the material level as the super soul. But to his pure devotees, he gives special intelligence. What they need to understand, how to sort out what is to do and what not to do. Where to turn their attention and what to avoid, so that the devotees can come closer to him and approach the ultimate perfection of pure devotion. So being situated in the middle, somewhere in the middle of the scale from complete materialism to pure devotion, we're somewhere in the middle, we should at least be very enthusiastic about always being engaged in some service to Krishna, doing something that Krishna wants done. Krishna wants something different from each different devotee. The real perfection, or the real key to perfection, what will put us on definitely on the right track to perfection, is if we can do what Krishna wants us to do, not make Krishna compromise by giving him an agenda that our mind made up. Our material mind comes up with an agenda. I'm going to do this. Krishna, please facilitate me. That's how people approach God. You know, give us this day our daily bread. Feed us. Give me facility to fulfill my plans. That's immature mixed devotion. That's karma mishra bhakti. I've got my plans. Jai Jagadisha Hare. Please fulfill my plans. Rather, pure devotion is assured for one who tells Krishna, I'm putting myself in your hands. I'll follow your plan. I don't know what your plan is. You know what it is. You just direct me, please, through your devotees, through my spiritual master and the other devotees, and my own mind. You give me intelligence, please, to understand how to approach you, how to come to the stage that I'm doing what you want rather than just what I want. Okay, so then that's how we get from where we are, how we make the most efficient progress toward the ultimate goal of simply aspiring to be a speck of dust at the feet of Krishna. Ainanda tanuja kinkaram potitam mam vishame bhavambudo kripaya tavapada pankaja stitaduli sadvisham vichintaya. This is how Lord Chaitanya in the Bible, the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? And he said, give us this daily bread, and you know, and something about forgiving the trespasses, you know, being forgiving. That's nice. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives a better prayer, how we should pray to the Lord. Oh, son of Nanda Maharaj, I have fallen into this dark well of material existence, or this ocean of material existence. Please pick me up and place me as a particle of dust at your lotus feet. Not that we're not impersonalists that want to merge into the body of Krishna, literally, but to be placed as a particle of dust at Krishna's lotus feet is symbolically telling Krishna, I want to serve you humbly in whatever capacity you have use for me. Put me to use according to your pleasure. And I put aside all my plans. Okay, so we'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes, Mother?
You were saying that Krishna wants every devotee to do something different.
Yes.
And you also said that Krishna will give intelligence to the mind. Krishna will give us
intelligence, yes.
We pray that we should guide us through our guru, through the devotees, and through our mind.
Yes.
The mind will say, I want this, and Krishna, please approve this.
Oh, but that's impure mind.
So how do we differentiate that this is what my mind wants is not for Krishna and this is for Krishna?
Well, in the beginning, we can't trust our mind, our intelligence, because it hasn't been purified enough yet. Then we should simply follow the guidance of the spiritual master and of reliable devotees, and of Shastra. Guru, Shastra, Sadhu. These are our three guides. Especially when we cannot trust our own intelligence, we should simply substitute for the dictates of our own mind, substitute the dictates of the Shastra, the Guru, and the Sadhu. And then, if we do that, our mind will become purified. And the guru will tell us, you're intelligent, you decide what to do. Our own spiritual master will tell us, I am giving you the responsibility, you use your intelligence. So we'll be told by our spiritual authorities, when we're ready to use our own intelligence, when that intelligence is ready to be used. Yeah. We're being trained up so that we can bring our intelligence under control and then use it in Krishna's service. Okay? But we get our you know, the guidance is coming from Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. If we're just listening to our own mind, then we're in danger of being distracted, going in the wrong direction. We always have to go back to Guru, to Sadhu, and to Shastra. We have to look in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam, read Prabhupada's purports, and confirm that what we think we should be doing is in agreement with Prabhupada's instructions. Prabhupada gives very clear instructions throughout his books how we should live our life, many practical details, many practical aspects of how to live. So our idea about what we think we should do should be confirmed by checking in the Shastra, checking Prabhupada's instructions. You know, whenever I want to do something, I have a plan, I should ask, is this actually something Prabhupada would want me to do? And we can consult Prabhupada's instructions on that. Then, you know, suppose I say, well, I want to get a second wife. You know, but Prabhupada said, even though polygamy is part of Vedic culture, you know, in the modern age it doesn't work, you know, it causes scandal, therefore in ISKCON we will not have polygamy. That's Prabhupada's instruction. If I ignore that, then I'm in trouble. I should be aware of Prabhupada's instruction and I shouldn't contradict it on many matters, practical matters. That's Shastra. And it's also Prabhupada's our Shiksha Guru. And then you go to your own guru, and you get confirmation. I think I should do this. Is that right? And then you consult other devotees, mature devotees, on questions like that. On everything. On everything, we should consult Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu before we make important decisions in our life. Don't just trust your own mind. Even the mature devotees, Krishna Das Kaviraj was 93 years old. He was a leader of the Vaishnava community. But he did not sit down to write Chaitanya Charitamrita before he got the blessings of the devotees and of the Madan Mohan deity. He took instruction and blessings first, and then he went ahead and wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita. Although he was qualified to make up his own mind, he wanted to get confirmation. So we should take confirmation for all our ideas from Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. Then our intelligence will be properly directed. Okay? Yes, Prabhu.
Sadhu means.
We should understand sadhu to mean Vaishnava. Yes. You know, the common popular idea of what a sadhu is not based on proper understanding. That a man who's wearing saffron and doesn't work for a living, who's abandoned his family, he's a sadhu. You know. He's not necessarily a sadhu. So many millions of people in India call themselves sadhus, and other people consider them sadhus. Yeah, but they wouldn't let their daughters near these men. You know, they're not to be trusted. So what kind of sadhus are they? Yeah. A real sadhu is a saintly person. The basic meaning of the word is saintly person. A pure person. Sadhu means pure, good, good quality. A good quality human being. Just like you buy some, you know, doorknob made out of brass. It may be just brass plated or it may be solid brass. You may get a cheap, you know, piece of goods or you may get good quality. So good quality goods is sadhu. A first class, good quality human being is a sadhu. But we understand that only the Vaishnavas are really good quality human beings. Everyone else... Harira Bhaktasya Kuto Mahadguna. We cannot find any good qualities in anyone who's not a devotee of Krishna. Okay? Yeah. So not sadhu. Not Vaishnav, not sadhu. And if someone is a Vaishnav, we have to accept him as sadhu. Even if he's Apiched Sudraracharo, even if his behavior is bad, he's still a sadhu, in Krishna's opinion. So a Vaishnav is a sadhu, and a sadhu is a Vaishnav. You can substitute, the words are synonymous. Yes, Prabhu?
Bhagavad Gita,
his devotees, in order to deliver my devotees. And then we have to understand, what does it mean, deliver the devotees? The devotees are protected by Krishna's internal energy. Why does Krishna have to come? The pure devotees, they're not afraid. Vasudeva was not afraid of Kamsa. He was sure that Krishna would protect him. Prahlad was not afraid of Hiranyakashipu. So why does the Lord have to come and protect them? They don't need any protection. Not protection from demons or from material nature. But the devotees, the real sadhus, the pure devotees, are in great anxiety because they don't see Krishna in the material world. Krishna is absent. So he comes to this world to give his association to his devotees. And that's how he delivers them from their pain of separation. That's the real meaning of Paricharanaya Sadhunam. To deliver my devotees from the torment of being separated from me, I come and give them my association. And that's the ultimate reason why Krishna descends to this world, to be with his devotees. Okay, and that's who the sadhus are. Okay? Okay, so we can stop here. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.